This is the European edition of Breaking Banks, the world's number one fintech podcast and radio show. We bring you the European unicorns, startups, founders, regulators, and leaders innovating the rapidly evolving fintech scene today. A truly localized podcast with both English and local language content with some of the world's most well-known hosts and influencers in the fintech sector globally. Join us every week as we explore what makes the European Union a phenomenal proving ground for many of the fastest growing fintech plays in the world today. Okay, let's roll.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Breaking Banks Europe. This is episode number 220, and we are doing news from the fintech front. This is Roberto Capodici, your host. We have two amazing guests. We have Mary Walker from the UK and Sanjeev Kalita from the United States, from Virginia. Let me give a little bit of introduction of these two amazing guests, and then we can start with the discussion of today. Mary Walker is from Open Futurist Raidam, and she's a seasoned fintech professional with a deep background in financial technology and digital innovation. Maria has been in the forefront of open banking and the move towards the data economy. So her expertise spans across API ecosystem, regulatory compliance, and integration of emerging technology within the financial sector. Maria's insight into evolving fintech landscape, especially in the context of regulatory changes and technological advancement, make her a valuable contributor to today's discussion. And so this is for Sanjeev Kalita, who is chairman and fintech meetup. So Sanjeev is a leader from Virginia, the US, known for his deep understanding of the fintech ecosystem and his intersection with digital innovation. With experience in leading fintech initiatives and a keen eye for emerging trends, Sanjeev has contributed to the growth and transformation of the fintech industry. His expertise in digital payment, blockchain technology, and strategic use of AI in financial services position him as one top leader in identifying opportunity and challenges within the tech space. This is amazing because we have people expert in finance, people expert in technology. There we are for fintech. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Roberto. Lovely to be here and great to meet you both.
I should have said you're from the UK, your accent gives away immediately.
It does, but actually I'm sat in a hotel room in Washington, D.C. at the moment.
Oh,
so
I see.
I'm both the other side of the pond.
Both in the United States. And Jim, sorry, I interrupted you, and welcome to the show to you too.
No, thank you very much, Roberto. Really excited to be here and, long-time listener, so really glad to be on here.
So let's start and break the ice with a little bit of an analysis. In 2023, it's been a little bit of a disaster. FTX being one of the last big trouble, but we had a Silicon Valley Bank going down as well. So it has been a little bit of, turbulence, let's say, in the fintech world. So how is this 2024 with all these artificial intelligence entering the game in an applied manner in a lot of the fintech sector? We can rotate. Let's start with Sanjeev. What's your opinion? What is your idea for 2024?
Yeah, so I think that one of the things with, some of the things you mentioned in 2023, it was not a failing of the technology itself, but a failing of the processes and some of the compliance overviews and risk management. So I think that on one hand, it's sort of like that, technology worked fine. It was a bit of the oversight. And that's why, even this year, I think that there's, even at, for example, at FinTech Meetup, which we had last week, there was a lot of interest in reg tech, compliance tech, a lot of, even banking as a service from a compliance and the safety and soundness elements of it. And so I think that, a lot of times when something happens, you tend to fight the last battle. And so there might be some of that, but I also think that there's a bit of the looking ahead of what's next and how we can take what we've learned and use that to make a better machine.
Thank you, Sanjeev, for your explanation. Very interesting. Marie, which are your prediction in the fintech world for 2024?
Thanks, Roberto. That big question. But I think I agree with what Sanjeev was saying, that the technology is not the problem. We are seeing an increasing complexity of business model and solution that is, as you also said, taking into account generative AI, which is very exciting. So there's a huge amount to play for. I think with my particular expertise, which is in open finance and open consented data sharing, what we need to remember, and this does also play with fintech more broadly, it's still at a very, very early stage. So if you look at some of the other technologies that we now use across the board, like contactless payments, the amount of time it took for that on-ramp was considerable. So I think what we'll see in terms of fintech predictions, more coalescing around solutions that solve a particular problem rather than a product in its own right. So one of the things I'm working on at the moment, for example, is helping to digitize the whole process of buying a home. So we're not looking at the component parts. We're not looking at creditworthiness for mortgage applications. We're not looking at identity verification. We're not looking at the individual elements. We're looking at the whole solution to achieve a desired purpose, which is buying your home. So I think those business models are really starting to accelerate, and I think we'll see more of those in 24.
Okay, that's fantastic. In fact, yes, I see in the finance, in the old finance sector, if you want to remove fintech here, there are things that get stuck and never move. Look at the credit card with the number that in the past people were rolling with the things, you know, and how easy it is to get somebody else's data. And the solution with that SMS, the code, the PIN seems patches on the original technology rather than removing and replacing the original technology. They keep using that and adding patches to it. So the fintech has a role here in making a change, right? But I have a question for Sanjeev. What do you think is the risk of scam with a new technology that, as much as they can empower new solution, can empower also people to pretend? So all the KYC protocol, for example, that is based on facial recognition, you know, videos, this all the voice, for example, voice fingerprint, a lot of banks use this. They make you speak a little bit to guarantee that it's you. So all these things are gone, are suddenly gone. So there is some innovation or, you know, you have you seen something that in this coming year can put a patch like on the credit card number to these issues that there are in the KYC, AML, or those processes?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great question. And I think hand in with that question is, how do you protect against that without introducing too much friction so that you lose potential sales, you lose potential customer engagement, you lose loyalty, and I think that is the big issue, and it's so. And you're absolutely right. Like with any new technology, that sort of opens up the threat vector, the threat surface for new attacks, and you're seeing that with things like generative AI. Opening up, the capabilities for fraudsters to, use parts of your data and repurpose that. They're thinking about so whether you log in from, what device are you logging in from? You have biometric data, more like, I guess, traditional personal data, which might be like government information, IDs and things like that. Then you have digital information, and I do think that there's and I think to what Marie was talking about, it's like less of a discussion of what specific solution that you're talking about, but like what is the problem and how can you attack that problem from different angles. And most recently I've seen several interesting new technologies that are that seem like that they could be pretty seamless, or you know, less friction, but still increasing security. But you know, it's obviously like you always after you introduce it, there's always going to be someone that figures out a way to crack it. It's from the days of the caveman. You know, I think it's been like that.
It's a cat and mouse a chase that they're never gonna end. Yeah, I guess. So, under this perspective, Marie, which you feel are going to be more indicated investment for venture capitalists in the fintech world in 2024?
I love giving predictions, but quite a tricky one to call. But so some of the most interesting use cases that I'm seeing in consented data sharing are where you're bundling different services together and using the richer data insights from both services to create a better product. So a good example of that is something like embedded insurance, where the embedded insurance is using the data on the platform that it's embedded in to create a better solution. So for example, embedded insurance on a travel platform that automatically sees that your plane is delayed, and if you got cover that protects you against delay, will automatically pay it out. So I think those really intuitive problem-solving, automatic, you know, particularly when you start coupling it with things like generative AI, I think those are going to be really exciting. Generally, though, it's the things that are also process improvements. So if you're saving a bank money, then that makes it very easy for them to invest in your solution. So it doesn't have to be a revenue-generating product in its own right. It could be something that's creating efficiencies or sustainability or security. So going back to the security point, I mean, we're seeing financial-grade API security. The FAPI standard has become the dominant standard in the world for sharing data on APIs. And we're moving from keys and secrets, which is the traditional username and password, to things like asymmetric keys. So while I agree that there's always going to be a scam or a hack that's going to evolve and keep pace, I think the level of robustness in terms of the core infrastructure that's available to fintechs and the financial services world is improving exponentially. So I think products and services that are showing definite process improvements, saving money or creating efficiencies. And generally, any product or service that targets the small business market is one to watch, because small business owners are easy early adopters. Anything that saves them time and money, they will adopt very quickly. So in the open banking, open finance world, a lot is talked about how much adoption there is in terms of consumer rates. If you look at it from the lens of a small business, those are the areas, those are the customers that you should be going for if your product is facing in that direction, and thinking about the distribution strategies. So we're seeing a lot more partnerships, a lot more collaborations between brands. And I think that's a trend that's going to escalate. So for VCs, it's what's the distribution strategy as well as what's the business plan.
Interesting. I agree with you. And I saw already many news of AI replacing a lot of employees and doing a better job. So wherever there are cost cutting and less error making, probably it's going to be really those kind of solutions that are going to see good investment this year. Jumping from one side to another completely, Sanjeev, Bitcoin past $70,000 of value in his all-time high. Okay, so the moon is still far, but we are in that direction. How this is affecting the fintech world? Do you think that this is going to move more investment from the Lamborghini guy toward the solutions that are more connected to finance? Such a big things bring more bridges between the classic finance and the crypto. So the fintech stands in the middle of these things. You know, you think it's gonna this event is gonna make a difference or not?
Yeah, no. That's another great call out. So just a bit of history. Like I actually, back in 2011, a Silicon Valley VC firm asked me to look at, put together like 10 trends on payments. And back then, 2011, I called out Bitcoin to them and said, you guys should be really looking at this. And so I have been interested in the strength of this and the potential of this technology for a while now. And I think that, for example, I think one of the reasons that the price of Bitcoin has shot up is because of traditional like ETFs and things like that getting involved and putting their money into Bitcoin. And I think that this is a case where Bitcoin was initially it was for very much like the people at the far end of technology, really the early adopters, and then it's gained more penetration in society, and now I think it's starting to get into the traditional financial world, if you will. So and I think that it is at this point, you're just looking at Bitcoin as a financial instrument, but I'm actually a big believer in the underlying blockchain technology as well, and how that can help the financial industry make some positive progress, from a financial inclusion perspective, from a reduction of costs perspective, from a greater transparency perspective. So I think I'm actually quite bullish on this. And so I do anticipate that, we're going to see continued, it's not going to be to the moon, if you will, but, it will be, we want, strong, sustainable growth rather than something that's going to be exponential. That's sort of my view.
Okay,
just on the Bitcoin.
Go ahead.
I had an interesting conversation with a government the other day who are now taking steps to allow payments to be made to them in cryptocurrencies via a payments gateway. Because the payments gateway will turn it into fiat, right. They don't see there's any reason for them not to accept crypto payments, which is the first government I've heard of taking that step. So that if that's an indication things are becoming more mainstream, then that's very interesting.
Yeah, in fact, in this topic, the central bank digital currency, which we spoke so much in the past years, it seems to be disappeared from the table of discussion, but it's actually a project that, as any project with the government, with central bank, takes a long time to proceed. Are things that started and are still in motion. So probably they're going to surprise us one of these days with, sandbox with APIs for the regular Joe to open their own bank using central bank's digital currency. You have any prospect or heard anything about this?
It's top of my head because just last week I moderated a CBDC panel at FinTech Meetup with someone working on the digital dollar project, someone from MAS out in Singapore, additionally someone from the Caribbean background and like with Sandollar. And some of the initiatives there. So there's just a lot happening in reality, and from my perspective, I used to think of CBDCs as a bit of like science fiction, but it's now becoming science reality. And so you have work with some retail CBDCs, and you have some wholesale CBDC tests going on as well. So I think it's a case where there's a lot of experimentation going on. And, I think it also really depends on the market. Like, so for example, in a market like China, where there's less penetration of traditional electronic payment methods, that might be a greater opportunity for retail. But let's say in other markets, that it might be a greater opportunity for wholesale. So, there's obviously a spectrum as well. So, that's a bit of what was top of mind for me.
So it's still in silence behind the scene, moving this. I don't say monster in the terms of a bad things, but these huge things, the huge wave that gonna surprise all us one day. Yeah, you haven't any particular information about CBDCs, Marie?
Only that I speak to regulators a lot, central banks around the world, and it's hard to find a central bank that isn't looking at CBDCs and creating their position on it, in the same way as it's hard to find one that isn't looking at open banking and open finance. And the movement forward to broader use cases and expanding data sharing across different sectors, this whole data economy and crypto and CBDCs and their role in enabling it is definitely on the horizon. It's very exciting. I think we'll see some big steps forward in the next year or two.
Fantastic. Now we're getting close to the time of closing. I think about fintech as a technology, and technology extends outside the computer, even like them is a technology, right? And when I think about smart money, it's something that may be obvious for some people, but not everybody may know. In the UK, at least in the past, when I was a kid and I was traveling there, money were weighted exactly matching their value. So half of a pound will weight half of a pound coin. So much that when you go to deposit a lot of coin, they just put it on a scale and it tells you how much money there is in the bag based on the weight. This seems silly. I never saw any other country doing something like this. And I think has been the first example of smart money that I ever seen in my life. This is fintech. It is whoever came up with that idea is a genius. Probably it was meant to be like this from the beginning. I don't know, but it's very interesting if we want to look at the history of fintech from the past. So I would say that we are toward the end. If there is the last comment you want to share with us, each of you, Sanjeev, about the news from the fintech front that we forgot to discuss, what you would say?
Yeah, no, I would say that you know, in spite of maybe some of the doom and gloom news, I think that there's just a lot of energy, a lot of positivity, and I think a lot of opportunity for fintech in the next year. Some of the smartest folks that that I know, you know, told me that last week, and so I had that sense as well too. So I would say that, you know, there's so many new things that could have a positive influence on how we pay, how we save, how we invest, and I think that you know, like, once again, I think it's going to be we're going to look back at this year and say, oh, this was a time when so many great companies were started.
All right, fantastic, Marie.
Yeah, I completely agree with all of that. The technology is amazing, and the things that it's going to enable for people, better access to products and services that are more appropriate, affordable, and so forth. It's really, really exciting. I think the teething problems is how I like to think about it in the last year, and it's not necessarily about the product and the technology. It's about the economy. And you know, the various things that we know have been going on in the last few years. So I think for fintechs, it's thinking about your financial runway. You know, what are you going to be able to monetize, or what value are you going to be able to demonstrate? And do you need to do something different to make your particular offering stand out? So, for example, personal financial management apps were a terrific success. You know, who doesn't want to aggregate all of their accounts and get insights from it? But it was very difficult to monetize because it's commoditized so quickly, because it was such a good idea. So think about what else you can do beyond that base product in order to differentiate yourself and really start to soar. But there's everything to play for. We're really at the very early stages, and it's extremely exciting.
All right. Thank you, Marie. So the suggestion for everybody, keep listening to Breaking Banks Europe, because there is a lot to learn and there is the good way to be in the right direction. So we're closing episode 220. It is Roberto Capodici, your host. We had these two amazing guests, Marie Walker and Sanjeev Kalita. I said it correct? And until next time, please follow us, press like, do whatever you have to do, and see you at the next episode. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to Breaking Banks Europe, a Provoke Media podcast in cooperation with FinTech Stage. Don't forget to tweet us out, shout out, or post to the team at Breaking Banks EU on Twitter. If there's something or someone you'd like to hear on our cast, let us know. See you next week on Breaking Banks Europe.